Welcome to the Loop Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Elise, Director of Marketing at Kwegi. Today, I'm joined by Kwegi's President and Founder, Sean Cotton, as well as Senior Account Strategy Director, Monica Herschelman. Let's get started. So it's no secret that e-commerce has exploded. I would say, obviously, over the pandemic, but it was on an upward trajectory way before then. So what changes have you seen in consumer behavior as a reaction to the growth of e-commerce, and how have brands in turn reacted to capitalize on this growth?
Well, I think from the consumer perspective, there's almost an expectation now from consumers that the brands that they want to buy are available in an e-commerce environment. And they also expect it to be tailored to their needs, for those brands to understand a little bit about them so that they can provide them with what they need. From the brand's perspective, as they've seen this, you know, it's really impacted them as to how they approach making those products available. So even if they don't have an e-commerce environment, so to speak, it's buy online, pick up at the store. Yeah. Things of that nature are things that, you know, smart brands are leaning into because they realize that they have to make their products available in that environment.
Yeah, I also think, you know, shop online, pick up in store, like getting groceries delivered to your mm-hmm. trunk is amazing, right? So, you know, how you browse in store has changed. You know, you just go up and down every aisle, and now the aisle is online. And so you can stick to your list, and you can really, and just drive up to a parking spot, call a number, and then get a coffee now at, you know, like Target. You know, so they're making these experiences so much more seamless without inconveniencing of stores and lines in store, right? But also, you know, our society just wants things instantly. So 2-hour delivery on Amazon from Whole Foods and things like that, where they just really, we have that high expectation, high need really, really quickly. And we rely on that now instead of, it's not a secondary, it's more of a primary type of shopping. And then if we need something, we'll go to the store secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's how we blend everything, right? So we put those online presence actually first, and the brands that are doing it really well are putting those online experiences first, but then also complementing and supplementing with offline and in-store sales.
So it can be very tempting to just copy the approach of brands that have done this very well and expecting it to be equally successful for your own brand and drive the same ROI. What would you do, or how would you challenge brands to really take a strategic approach to e-commerce and deep dive into what their customers expect and want?
Yeah, I think it really starts with getting to know their specific customers well. What's important to one brand that's doing e-commerce, what's important to their customers may be different than what's important to the customers of our particular brand, right? And so we do have to look really at the individual characteristics and attributes of who our key customers are, and then craft around that. There's likely going to be a lot of overlap between the ones that are doing e-commerce well, because there's a reason why they're doing well. But there's going to be other things that maybe resonate with our customers that aren't as important to that other brand. Like, for instance, it could be around being able to have a list and or a favorites feature on our website, because there's things that we want to shop and we want to store for later for easy access, but we don't want to buy today. You know, something as simple as that, including that in our website. Or it could be for this other retailer, it could be discounts and coupons. Right. For our particular customer, maybe that's not the, you know, most important thing. Maybe they're drawn to our product due to the high quality and reliability, and we need to lean into attributes that are around that. So it starts with getting to know our particular consumers really, really well. We can look at what others are doing and having success with and incorporate that, but be sure to satisfy the specific needs of our most valuable consumers.
Yeah, and I think to build on that, the consumer is looking for the brand to offer them something, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're tied to that brand, if they're loyalists already, they want to continue to be loyal, or they're going to be switched over. So we have to think about the brand experience too, and that's how you can really incorporate a communication strategy and a media strategy together one-on-one, so your message is hitting the people that you need to be hitting, right, as Sean said, but also experience the experience within what they're doing, right? So seamless integration and, you know, messaging of, okay, you have bought this, or cross-selling, upselling, like that type of thing, where you can't just copy and paste, because if you copy and paste, you're going to be pretty, in this day and age, you're probably going to be called out. And yeah. So really creating that customer experience for your target customer, but also finding opportunity with other customer spaces too, like that secondary or tertiary, and just understanding what value you bring to your customers as a brand, and then applying that through all the channels.
Yeah, and I think you have to be really be dedicated to doing that. That, you know, prior to the explosion of e-commerce and DTC, a brand could ride the waves of their brand loyalty for a long, long time, right? But now that as consumers have more and more choices and options, and many of these are being pushed towards them, that brand loyalty can erode pretty quickly if they're not continually engaged by, you know, their current products and services that they're taking advantage of.
So that brings me to the point of personalization. Mm-hmm. I think that's really where loyalty is gained. But there's also a balancing of personalization and being authentic and not overly pushy. Mm-hmm. I feel like consumers have gotten pretty aware of when that product that's being placed in front of me makes complete sense, because I bought a product that's complementary to it yesterday and maybe are turned off because they feel like there's not been enough space or time in between the purchase. So how do you do personalization well on e-commerce and a point that's scalable? Because everybody, every brand is going to have subsections of their customers. So what have you seen work well in terms of personalization?
I think really developing a path for your customer, right? And understanding the timing that they need to get their mind shifted to the next product or to the next thing, because once you get a pair of shoes, right, you might need shoelaces. So mm-hmm. like thinking about that customer experience, or thinking about like, okay, cookies are going away, right? And personalization is somewhat triggered by those. If you're going on to land on this landing page, I'm going to serve you this ad and this mm-hmm. ad and this ad. But it starts with understanding your audience and knowing the segments of your audience of where we want to deliver. So new moms might be completely different than a new dad, right? With messaging and tone and color. And so you're going to we really, as agencies with media and creative and branding, going to have to work together a lot more to understand how it would just, if we get to the audience and how that message and create is going to resonate, not more so of like, hi, Monica, you want this ad. It's more so of like, those little pods of people mm-hmm. that you can really start building that personalization, not with words, but with themes and with other pieces of creative and messaging.
Yeah, I think most of us have, when we're shopping, have seen in the footer or over to the right, you might also like, right? Mm-hmm. And all these other products. And certainly there's value to that, and that can be very helpful. But to your point about being scalable, those are one-to-one interactions that would take place potentially millions and millions of times. So, and we're directing that particular consumer down one path. So if we can come up several different levels and give them the opportunity to see different paths that they can go, maybe that wasn't even directly related to that product that they just bought, then that promotes discovery on behalf of our consumers. And discovery leads to engagement and leads to loyalty.
For sure.
So then thinking over the last 2 years, there have been a lot of brands who have had to pivot very quickly in terms of their business model to be able to reach customers with their products in a way that's seamless and convenient. What have you seen brands do well, and where have you maybe seen some missteps that have impacted consumer loyalty?
Yeah, so I think a good example, you know, coming out of the pandemic is gym equipment and gym, mm-hmm. you know, attributes. So everybody was very convenient. They could go to a gym, work out, and then all of a sudden that was taken away in a day or a week, right? So these companies had to really come back out with, how do I get these products in customers' hands? but mm-hmm. also offer like a little bit of stress relief for these people. You know, people were bottled up in their homes. They couldn't go out. They were trying to go out for walks, you know, like all that history around. So like companies like Atonal, where they kind of went to the social channels where they knew that people were looking for something to release energy from being in their house. And so really resonating with that messaging. Also just workout videos, you know, mm-hmm. how big those have popped up like on Apple Plus and things like that, where people really resonated of just being able to do it themselves and doing it in their home, but still getting out and being out of our work style and our work home, you know, work from home. So I think that was a big company, but then also some other like other gym companies just couldn't recognize, be like, they have these big pieces of equipment. How do we get them into these houses? How do we get them set up? It just seemed like overly tasked. So I think there's a nice balance that you can find where, you know, taking opportunity, but not taking opportunity from your customer, right? Not just jumping on everything of the trend or the bandwagon or QR code, you know, like doing it smartly so your customer still feels like it's loyal to them and it's personalized to them, but also still driving your products forward.
Yeah. And I think another area that I saw a similar amount of success is in the ready to deliver furniture space. You know, Wayfair, for instance, you know, as interest rates were low and people were building and buying lots of houses and remodeling, you know, they needed to stock these houses. And I think a company like Wayfair, you know, took great advantage of that, you know, that environment, that situation. Some of the things that I really appreciate that they did is, and still continue to do, is even though they're an e-commerce company, they really promote their brand through all channels. You'll see them on TV, print, and so forth. And so they're really building that awareness of what they have to offer. They provide other options after you purchase that particular piece of furniture or that product for delivery, for installation, and assembly. If there's any kind of bad experience, they'll follow that up with discounts and coupon codes. And they do have a nice recommendation engine within their platform. So they're doing a lot of things well in that e-commerce environment, but they're not really just looking at it as an online only initiative. You know, one of the things that I think they're doing really well is looking across channels and where their consumers are spending their time and educating them about what they have to offer in those places.
I think you bring up a really good point, Sean, about the tactics that are needed to drive e-commerce sales, and that it may feel simple, thinking about social commerce being a link to e-commerce sales. What are some other tactics you've done with your brands in the CPG space, Monica, to drive e-commerce results?
Yeah, I think it's a holistic opportunity, right? So obviously social is probably the one that you can do the best, but like complementing with just a display or a programmatic channel, even direct buys, like being in that context with your customer at the right time. But then TV and traditional mm-hmm. still has a place in our digital, in our media landscape, right? So it has changed its face. But it does complement. When you see something on a 70-inch TV, you will pay attention. So cable and CTV and, you know, all of those big screen placements, but then being able to come back, and then digital out of home and out of home mm-hmm. still, you know, people are out driving, people are going back out, they're being out in the open again. Don't forget about those tried and true tactics that have driven media for so long. And then complement and supplement with social, programmatic, and, you know, online avenues.
How do you think the e-commerce landscape is going to evolve over the next 5 years? Thinking about the last 2-3 years, there's been an expedited amount of change. Do you think we'll continue on that trajectory in terms of pivoting with e-commerce tactics, or what are you envisioning?
Yeah, I think e-commerce will just be embedded into, you know, the marketing landscape for brands, in that just always being available for consumers to buy or to consider their products wherever they're at and whenever they're at, even maybe even getting to a point to where it starts to become predictive. a little bit more in some way of like, it's about time for that, you know, new refrigerator or for this or whatever it may be, a new car. And then thinking, you know, a few more years in the future, you think it was Web 3.0 and those interactive experiences as to what that would mean for e-commerce, to where people can try before you buy in virtual environments. So there's some exciting areas where e-commerce could continue to expand.
I think also think the, you know, e-commerce grew so fastly, now the infrastructure has to kind of catch up too. Mm-hmm. So like delivery services being, you know, 2-hour delivery, a drone drop, like that type of thing. So, you know, that the online was so easy to change pretty quickly in the last 3 years, but now there's a lot of infrastructure. So I think that if, as long as that escalates with it, we'll be able to continue like our upward trajectory. But then also, people are not going to want to lose convenience. Like that is something that we will always want. And the convenience factor that e-commerce provided the last couple of years is just going to be, okay, how can we make it better? How can we, you know, and build more brand loyalty with it?
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Monica and Sean.
Thanks, Elise.
Thank you for listening. Kwegi is an industry-leading performance marketing agency based in the Midwest. We've learned a lot since our founding in 2014 and started the Loop Marketing Podcast to share some of our hot takes on marketing trends we're following, best practices we've discovered, and actionable tips for improving your digital strategy. We'll see you next time.